Hey, this is Frank with the Golf Podcast, and I want to apologize in advance for the audio in this particular episode not being quite up to our usual standard. We had some technical difficulties that we had to get around, but we left all the content in there because we've got some very, very important topics that we cover, and there's a lot of great tips in there that I wanted to make sure we left in place. So we apologize again in advance for that, and now on to the show.
Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, welcome to the 53rd episode of the Golf Podcast. Now, last week we talked about how to bounce back from a bad round of golf. That was a really great one because it's something that doesn't matter what your skill level is. We even talked about this. Some of the guys like top golfers in the world, like Rory McIlroy and some of these other guys, struggle with that. We've all seen it. So everyone does. And there's a lot of great ways you can kind of mentally get yourself back in the game. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, definitely go back and check that out on Golficity or iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we've got another topic that is very relatable. I think it's one of the most demoralizing things that can happen out there. And that's when you hit a shot fat, or some of us call it chunking it, hitting behind the ball and hitting ground first, then ball. And it just, the ball goes nowhere. It's kind of out of control. And it's a shot that nobody likes to have happen to them. So we're going to talk about a couple quick ways that you can, a couple different things you can work into your swing, and a couple different thought processes you can add in that'll help to greatly reduce that. It's going to happen from time to time. There's no way to completely eliminate it, but we're going to help you with a couple different ways that you can reduce that. Definitely save yourself a few strokes. So as always, I have Mike here with me. Mike, how's everything with you?
Everything is great. A little cold today, Frank, up here in the Northeast.
That's an understatement.
It's halfway through November, and it looks like the clubs are away officially for the season for me. But you know, this is a great topic tonight because, you know, how many times have, you know, I could picture it now. The same par five at my course, I'll put the drive right down the middle. I'll hit the second shot, maybe 30, 40 yards short of the green, and there I am about to get a nice green in regulation. And I chunk it every single time. I don't know. Maybe it's just those short chip shots hitting too steep down on the ball. I don't know, Frank. I don't know what it is, but that's where I tend to have this problem, and it tends to lead to that blow up round sometimes if I'm doing it consistently throughout. So, you know, this is a great topic, and a lot of us go through that dreaded chunk shot, and we hit it fat, and this is something that could be, you know. If I can figure this out, Frank, I think I can shave a lot of strokes.
Yeah, and it leads to those bad rounds, like you said, because it's also, like I was saying when I opened up the show, is being so demoralizing. It's just so frustrating when you have that happen. It's just like, you know, the ball goes nowhere. It looks terrible. It's one of the worst things. So, and I have an idea of what it might be, especially why it's being amplified for you on the short game. So we're going to jump into that in a second. That's one of actually our three key points we want to hit on. But just going back to what you're saying about putting the clubs away, something I haven't had a chance to tell you this yet, but we talked about during the off season, different ways that we're kind of committing to still improving our game. And actually way back in episode 7, we talked about some tips for tuning up your game during the off season, but I'm actually going to commit to that 6 lesson package they have over at the PGA Superstore. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know why? I think about it like this. You know, A, it's a great price. I mean, we have no affiliation to the store, so I'm not trying to sell it on anybody. But what I like is that my plan is I'm going to space out the lessons throughout the off season. You know, here in New Jersey, we've got probably 3-4 months it's going to be too cold to play. Just space it out because it's going to keep me swinging. I know you and I go to the simulator a lot, but this will kind of force me to do that. And I want to really talk about this all the time on the show, the importance of the fundamentals. I'm going to go in there and I said even the pros are working on their fundamentals with their swing coaches all the time. I'm just going to start fresh and just go in with some basics and say, you know, forget trying to fix this, that, or the other thing. let's just spend, you know, each lesson focusing a little bit on the fundamentals, because I think that's where the consistency is going to come from. Because one frustration I personally had with this season, although even though it was my best season, I played better than I ever have. I broke 80 for the first time. I'm on the right track, but I still have a lot of that frustration where I can break 80 one day and then shoot like mid 90s the next day because I have a complete blow up. I mean, that's what led to talking about a lot of these things, like the how to recover from a round like that. But I think what's even more important is I'm going to work on preventing it. I want to talk about just ways to get my swing more consistent. Very similar to what we saw Ricky Fowler do. I mean, look at his. I was kind of watching. There's a couple of nice YouTube videos that compare his 2013 swing to his 2014. That's exactly what Butch Harmon did. He went in there and he just identified a couple of fundamental things that, you know, Ricky was still able to play well with that kind of some awkward hitches in his swing because he's so talented. But by just adjusting those, his consistency went like through the roof. I mean, he didn't have any wins last season, but he had the best showing, you know, overall in all the Masters, in all the majors, I should say. And he played terrifically. So that's going to be my plan going through this offseason.
Yeah, that's solid. I mean, well, before I tell you my plan, I'm going to make a prediction right now. Ricky Fowler will win an event in 2015. As we wrap around this season, he's going to win one. I just have a feeling. I mean, the kid is just getting better and better every single, you know, event that he goes out and plays, and he's consistent, and you know, watching him play is great. You know, like you said, watching his swings online, it's, you know, they're really helpful. And you know, what I'm gonna do is, you know, it's a great idea, the six lesson package is great. I might do the same thing, and like you said, space it out and even take some of the last, maybe the last half of the lessons during the season, so I can kind of carry some of it on the course. And then I'm definitely going to take a full run through the Golficity Golf Academy, go through all the tutorials, all the courses, and just try to fine tune everything and try to really, you know, learn how to put this game together piece by piece so that when I go out there, I kind of have a game plan. You know, I just don't want to go out there and just play 18 holes and just, you know, rush around and try to, you know, do it in 3.5 hours and try to get in the car and get home. I really want to have a game plan and, you know, try to slow my game down because I've been rushing everything. And, you know, that's why I'm chunking balls. That's why I'm hitting balls thin. That's why I'm slicing some balls, because I'm not consistent, Frank. So I really want to get the consistency factor back. And if I combo some lessons with the academy, I think I can have a pretty good season.
I agree. Yeah. When it comes down to, like I said, the fundamentals and the mental fundamentals of not rushing it and things like that. But I'm glad you brought that up, because actually just, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we launched a new course in the Academy, Putting Fundamentals, which goes through from like front to back, especially for beginners. But I think anybody could benefit from this by taking a real look at it. We go through, you know, your grip, your putting stroke, reading the green, tips, you know, drills you can do, a lot of great stuff. And we've got some new courses that are going to be coming out in December as well, some short game courses and stuff like that. So I would definitely say pay attention to that. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, go to golficity.com and click on Academy. It's under the members section and you'll see that. So let's do it. Let's jump right into this, because I think we're already kind of hinting at a couple of the things of what we're struggling with and ways that we can possibly fix this. But like I said before, I mean, the main thing with hitting a shot fat or chunking the ball, it's so demoralizing, because what happens is, you know, and let's just talk about the quick physics of it. It happens whenever you hit the ground behind the ball first before hitting the ball. And what that's going to do, obviously hitting the ground, something as solid as that, is going to shave a ton of swing speed off that club head speed. So that's going to cause not only is the club is going to probably bounce up and connect with the ball wrong, but you're also going to have a situation where you're taking about half to three quarters of your club head speed away immediately, and you're just losing all that distance going forward. So there's a lot of things that can go into it. And one thing, actually, is the next two, I think, can kind of relate to what you were saying, Mike, with the short game. And that's what I want to say here, is that this can relate to all swings, whether it be your shorter half swings or your full swings. All of this kind of relates to that. But one thing is definitely your balance. You want to make sure you keep your balance appropriate to the shot. Balance is so important. Balance is one of those fundamentals, and that's something that I've worked on before and some of the lessons I've taken, you see pros working on it all the time. But what you see here and what the problem might be is, let's say I'm talking about for a righty, if you're a lefty, just switch this. But if you were to shift too much of your weight back on your back leg, on your right leg for a righty, or your left leg for a lefty, there's a tendency to come down too hard behind the ball because you've got that weight shifted back. This can really be amplified on a chip shot where a chip, and this is like what you were starting to mention, Mike, a chip shot, you should really have your weight not even evenly distributed, but shifted forward. You should have that shifted onto your left leg for a righty. And that's something we cover in depth in a new course in the academy. But you want to make sure you do that. So now if you think about it, if your weight should be neutral or shifted forward and you're shifting that backwards, you're going to end up, you know, much more often than usual, you're going to end up hitting behind that ball, hitting it fat, chunking it. So this is one thing you can kind of do preemptively to make sure that you don't end up with a chunk shot, is that just take a quick, and you can work this right into your pre-shot routine, is just take a quick inventory of your balance before you take a shot. And even when off the course, when you're practicing, there's a lot of different things you can do to kind of get a feel for this. And one thing, this is a drill that I really liked. An instructor had brought this to my attention about a year ago, and I come back to it every once in a while when I'm struggling with different areas of the swing. And that's just by taking my right foot, and I do this on the range, and just take my right foot, my back foot, because I'm a righty, and just moving it back out of the stance and just kind of balancing on my toe. And what that does is it forces almost all of the weight to go onto my left foot. Okay. So the right foot is really just there for a little bit of stability, you know, because you're still going to make a swing. But by doing that and then hitting balls that way, I do that on the range a lot. You can feel where the weight should be on your forward leg. You can kind of actually feel it moving through your foot, but you can kind of see that it's almost much easier to make solid contact. It's easier to compress the ball when you realize that's the idea of keeping your weight shifted forward. And it just kind of proves that to you, like how that should feel. It's just creating that whole feel. And then when you'll kind of gain a better idea of if you are shifting your weight too far back and you're going to chunk it, you'll identify it because you're more used to how proper weight distribution should feel. So Mike, do you think that could possibly be part of what's happening to you out there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now that I think about it, you know, the times I am chunking, I can see myself in my head right now, taking a swing, and I'm seeing my body shift. I'm actually doing it as we talk. I'm seeing it shift too far back. And that's a pretty good drill. When I took lessons a couple years ago, that we've done the same drill in the simulator booth with the pro. And he basically said to pick my leg up altogether and just stand on one foot and do it. So something similar. And, you know, all these tips we get from lessons and everything, we kind of just tend to forget them and we don't really carry that out on the course. But, you know, now that I think about it, you know, balance is key. So basically, Frank, you know, if you stay neutral, and again, I'm simulating this as we're talking, you're going to make better and solid contact at the ball as opposed to hitting before it. Okay. I think that's something that can help.
Yeah. Look, what we're ultimately talking about, I mean, we're talking about avoiding this chunk shot, but really the way the proper way you should make contact with the ball is the ball first and then the ground. That's what we've talked about before in compressing the golf ball. And we've got some articles on Golficity where we kind of get into that a little bit more. But what I mean by that is that when I say compressing the ball and hitting down on it, when you shift your weight too far back, you can end up too much. Look, what they call it, sometimes they call it cupping your wrist or flipping at it, where you're breaking your wrist too soon. And it ends up being a mess. And that's where you're going to, a lot of times you're either going to chunk it or top it. So ultimately, you're just returning to that fundamental of compressing the ball. And a big part of that comes to, you know, coming down on it and making sure your weight is shifted forward. So that's why that type of thing is so important. And this leads me right into kind of the next thing, going into the idea of keeping your swing speed up. And why I say this, and if you want, we talk about tempo and different things like that. If you want to kind of slow down, and you can do that, and it's sometimes it's even good to try to slow your backswing back down a little bit, but we're trying not to just decelerate through our forward swing. And this is something that can happen a lot, especially with, like you say, chip shots, shorter shots, feel shots, because you're really trying to feel you know, where you're putting it. And there's a tendency, if you're not quite confident in, especially with your distance, if it's a half swing or something like that, if you're not quite confident with it, there is a tendency to decelerate when you're swinging through. And what happens when you do that is that can very often cause you to hit behind the ball and end up striking the ground first. What it really does is it causes you to drop your body and your shoulders because you're decelerating. So you're dropping your body, dropping your shoulders. Now you're a little bit too close to the ground than you should be in your normal swing path, and you're hitting behind the ball. Your hands will actually be lower, closer to the ball because of that body shift, and then you're going to strike the ground first. So what you might want to do is if you want to practice kind of slowing things down, and Mike, you talked about slowing things down, try this on the range. Try slowing down your backswing a little bit. You can, you know, bring it back maybe 75% of the speed, but then come through at your normal full speed swing. The key here is not to decelerate once you start your swing down towards the ball, because that's where you can really come into a problem. So this is really where it's going to be something you got to practice different distances. It's going to be amplified when you're that 30 to 40 yards out and you have to take a half swing. But remember, what we're trying to do is compress the ball. And anytime we're going to decelerate too much, you're going to end up with something like that, where you're either going to cup the wrist, or you're going to end up just hitting behind it because your hands are falling down too quickly. So Mike, that I think that might be another part of the problem is what you're talking about there.
Yeah. And it's safe to say this is different than creating lag, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, because lag is more of something that happens with, you know, coming in the backswing, and something that happens with where the club is positioned and, you know, in relative to the body throughout the swing. Here, what I'm talking about is actually the swing process itself, the physics of it, where you're just kind of, it happens when you're unsure, like you're rethinking it during your swing, and people just tend to kind of decelerate, almost like you're trying to stop the club. It's like a good way to think of it, if you played baseball and if, like, you know, a pitch you're not sure of and it breaks on you on the last minute and you try to hold and stop the club, you know what I'm talking about? Right. So that's like obviously a very, very dramatized, like amplified version of it. But this can happen a lot where you're just like, you start your swing down and you're just like, I'm just not sure if I'm swinging the right amount for this distance. You slow it down a little bit. And now if you can even simulate it where you're sitting and you just kind of feel your whole shoulders and arms and hands drop down a bit because they're just trying to decelerate that club. Now all of a sudden you're too low, you're hitting behind the ball, you end up chunking the ball, you end up with that, you know, just hitting it fat, very fat. So that's one of the things that can definitely get into the way.
Excellent.
So jumping into the last one, club face. Now, funny thing is, if you think about everything we're talking about here, all fundamentals again, all going back to those same type of things, balance, swing speed, swing tempo. Now, club face. A lot of times what you'll see is golfers will open their club face too much because they're afraid of sculling it. So the opposite, hitting it thin. So they're opening up their club face, and that can have its own problems. You know, a wide open club face will force you to pop the ball up. You know, it's good to use when you need to, getting out of the sand, things like that, but you don't want to use that all the time. So the opposite would be sometimes guys will close the club face down a little bit too much. And what's going to happen with a closed club face is that very often the heel of the club is going to strike the ground on a downward angle before the club makes contact with the ball. So that's where you're going to have that chunk shot. So one thing that really comes down to, and what we're really just leading to say here, is that you got to make sure that club face is square to the ball. I mean, that's a very fundamental of the swing, but it is important. Sometimes, and especially if you notice that you're chunking a lot in a row, that's when you want to kind of take that inventory of all your fundamentals. What am I missing here? Check your club face. Check to make sure it's squared, you know, to the ball, aimed at the target, and not closed. Because it doesn't take much. It can be just a little bit that your club face can be closed, and it's going to come through, especially if you're hitting out of something like the rough or something like that, where it's going to grab, might not grab even the ground, but it's going to grab the top of that grass a little bit sooner. And what that's going to do is it's just going to slow it down. So really, to kind of recap on this whole thing, make sure, A, that you're shifting your weight forward a little bit, especially when you're on approach shots, on chip shots, things like that. Again, that's just kind of a fundamental of compressing the ball better. Then the next thing you want to do is to make sure that beyond the balance, that you're not decelerating that club on your downswing. And the last thing is making sure your club face is square to impact. So a couple quick things that you can do as far as drills to practice this. One thing that I really like is what they call like the towel drill. You can use other things, but when you're out there on the range, just try putting a towel or something else soft. Definitely want to use something soft. Just maybe 6 inches behind the ball. And just get used to swinging and making sure that you're not making contact with that towel at all, and you're making contact with the ball. That'll kind of give you that feel of what a nice downward angle should feel like, what moving, shifting your weight forward and compressing the ball should feel like. It's very similar to the drills we talked about compressing the ball, where you can put a mark in the ground or something like that where the ball is, and then making sure your divot happens after that. You don't want to start your divot before the ball, because that's exactly the definition here of a chunk shot. You're hitting before the ground before ball. So you can take something very simple like that, like a towel, and just go in and just take some swings and just see how it feels and make sure you're not making contact with that. Might feel awkward at first, but it will get your body, your muscle memory kind of feeling the way the proper, you know, swing should feel coming through the ball. Mike, does that all make sense? Do you have anything else you want to throw in there?
Yeah, you know, I like to cheat the system when I can, you know, so to speak. You know, it's the same example of if you know you slice the ball, just aim more, you know, as a righty, just aim more left. You know, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to stay square and just work on your swing, not try to, you know, do it that way. So similar to that, Frank, I like to move the ball back in my stance. So I make sure that I hit the ball first and not the ground. And, you know, it does kind of work for me. It doesn't take away too much of the loft that I would have with the ball, you know, more up in the stance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of worked. It's forcing me to make contact with the ball first because it's further back in the stance. And I just kind of ran with it for a little bit. And, you know, I know it's not really the right way to solve the problem, but, you know, if you can find little shortcuts in this game, hey, you know, I go with it.
Yeah. And you know what? What you're doing is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's when you're chipping the ball, especially, it's the right thing to do. You're going to want to move the ball back in your stance when you're chipping. But one thing I would tell you, and it would be a suggestion, would be if you're doing that on like longer irons and stuff like that, where you're moving it back when it should be a little bit more forward, instead of that, just check your balance and just shift your weight. Keep the ball where it is and just shift your weight forward rather than shifting the ball back to meet where your weight is. Move your weight forward to meet where the ball is. Now do that on the range, obviously, first, and see if that kind of helps. You know, you'll probably be able to get a little bit more distance out of it because by moving it forward a little bit, you're able to generate that much more club head speed by having a little bit of a longer swing, because that might be it. But I'm not suggesting that for the chip shots, because that is important. You want to have that ball move back in your stance a little bit when you're chipping it.
Right.
But it's a little bit slightly different swing in that regard and where your hands are in relation to the ball. But I think the weight thing, more than anything, is what's really going to help. For me personally, the thing that helps the most is the not decelerating with the swing. I know I do that, especially I'm one of those guys, like I have a huge gap that I'm trying to remedy in deciding what I'm going to use and put in my bag. But I've got a huge gap between 125. 125 out is a perfect shot for my pitching wedge, 125 to 130. And then I've got my gap wedge, which is good from about 100, you know, down to, I don't know, something like that. Full swing is about 100. That's a 54-degree wedge. And then I have a 60-degree wedge, which a full swing is only going to go about 70 yards. But between that 125 and 100, or yeah, between those two clubs or just below where the other one, I'm ending up with some variation of a less than full swing. And, you know, that's one thing that I know personally, that confidence in that will come with practice. I got to go to the range. We talk about it all the time, just going to the range and focusing on one thing. I know I got to go in there and focus on like a 110-yard shot and just get the feel for it, because without having the feel, I don't have the confidence. And if it's like 110 yards and I'm saying like how much of a, you know, 75% swing with my pitching wedge, what am I going to hit? And then a lot of times right in the middle, no matter how many practice swings I take, a lot of times this happens to me. I'm just like, you know, halfway through it, I'm like, maybe this is too much. Maybe this is not enough. I slow down that swing and then chunked, and I end up, Yeah, I'm still 70 yards off the green, and it's embarrassing. So that's something that I know will come with confidence, but that's my area where I'm focusing on is just not decelerating.
Well, you're not one of those guys who has 27 clubs in his bags with a 52, 54, 56, and 60, and a 58 thrown in there somewhere. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, those in-between clubs, it's tough to change up the swing. But, you know, like you always say, practice at the range, and those shots you can eventually get down.
Yeah. We have a great article actually on Golficity about how to fill in the gaps with your different wedges and knowing which ones to put. But there's no matter what, there's always going to be some gaps and things that are not full swings. And just having confidence in it, knowing what you need to, you know, how much of a swing you need to make in order to reach the distance you're looking to reach will really help in cutting down on chunking the ball, because you won't be decelerating like that. So anyway, that's everything that we have this week. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. You will notice over the next couple weeks, we're going to be kind of sporadic. We're not quite every week like usual with the new podcast episodes. And largely that's because the holidays coming up. Both Mike and I separately, we're going to be away at different times. We've got some crazy things going on, but we'll be here, you know, at least every other week, and then we'll be back to our full schedule shortly. Hopefully, Mike, you and I will get in the simulator and get to play a little bit. I'm still hoping to get out there at least one more time. I know you're saying you put your clubs away, but they say next week. people down south are going to laugh at us, but it might be in the 50s.
Which is golf weather. Yep.
That's golf weather for me, and they don't have the temporary greens out yet. They still got the pins in. So as long as the pins in, there's hope. That's the way I think about it.
Right. Well, hey, if it is 50, maybe I will squeeze in one final one, because I'm not going into the off season with that blow up round at Bethpage Black. I want to get one more crack at something decent before I really hang them up. So.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I drove past the course actually this past weekend when it was very cold. In my car, it said it was 38 degrees out, and there were still guys all over that course. And it was funny, you know, first of all, playing in that weather, it's like hitting a rock, hitting the ball, because it's so cold. But they had every type of high-tech heating thing you can imagine. Have you ever seen those things? They actually put them like all the way around the golf cart, and then it plugs into the little like, I don't know, the outlet on the golf course, and there's a little heater, and they heat inside the thing. I mean, these guys were doing whatever they had to do to get out there.
Dedication. It's great. But you know, with speaking of holidays, Frank, you know, coming up, I wanted to let everyone know that we are going to be publishing our coveted best Black Friday and Cyber Monday golf deals. You know, this is where our team scours the web, and we come up with the best deals you know, that you could buy for yourself, you know, for someone in your life who plays the game. And so, Frank, this podcast, this show will hit on Sunday, and then the article will come out, a few days later, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're still actually waiting for the deals to roll in and find out what they are. A lot of these guys are keeping them tight to the chest, so to speak, because they don't want to let you know what they're going to be until they come close. But I'm personally, Mike, I am not one of those guys who is going to go to the store on Black Friday. Forget that.
Right.
But what we found, especially last year, is all of the major, even some, you know, a lot of the smaller retailers do online Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals. So I use it as a time to stock up. Especially last year, I stocked up on the 3-Up golf balls that we talk about a lot on here. Right. They were running a killer deal. It was 40% off if you jumped on there at midnight. So of course, you know, I'm going to do that. So I actually end up using Black Friday a lot of times to grab everything I need to prep for next spring. You know, I've gotten golf shoes, I've gotten everything you imagine, stock up on the ball, stuff like that. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot about that. But yeah, definitely check that out. I'm sure we'll tweet that out. We'll send it out on Facebook. So if you're not already following us on one of those, make sure you follow Golficity, because then you'll be alerted. Or the other thing you could do is make sure you're signed up for our newsletter, because for sure we'll shoot that link out on the newsletter as soon as we know what the deals are going to be. And we'll be updating that page as more come in, because they start to notify us of what's going to be up there. But there's some great ways to score some great deals, and you don't need to be standing on lines in the freezing cold, because you can do it all online. That's what I like the best.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. So again, that's everything we have. We appreciate you listening. If you like what you hear, please take a second to leave us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate those reviews. It's the best way for us to help grow the show and have other new listeners learn about the show. As I said, next week we'll be off with the Thanksgiving holiday, but we'll be back again the week after. In the meantime, you can contact us by emailing us at podcast@golfvicity.com. Or as always, check us out on the web at golfvicity.com. We'll have all the show notes for everything we spoke about today at golfvicity.com/episode53. All right, so enjoy your Thanksgiving, and we will be back again soon.